faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
That is how Americans knew Superman from the TV show in the 50s and 60s, and then by the next generation, they knew him by this. The music that went with the Christopher Reeve movies. And now for a new generation, there's a new Superman, a British actor, yes, a Brit, playing the all-American hero Superman. His name is Henry Cavill. The movie is called Man of Steel. It's going to have a huge opening weekend with something like $120 million at the box office. I'm not a fan of this movie. I don't know why we had to go back and tell the origin story again. But if we're going to tell the origin story of Superman, let's talk about the real origin of the great American superhero with Larry Tye, the man who's literally written the book on the subject. It's out now in paperback, and it's called Superman, The High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero. Larry, welcome to America Weekend.
Great to be with you.
Take me back to the beginning. Who was it who created Superman some 75 years ago?
So it was a guy named Jerry Siegel, who was a teenager in a section of Cleveland, Ohio called Glenville. And this is a boy who we now know from his unpublished, just-discovered memoir that was a bully kid. He would go out on the playground every day, and the boys would taunt him, yelling things like, "Siegel, Siegel, birds of an eagle." Now, I have no idea what that means, but I know if you're out there in a playground as a little boy and all the girls are watching the other boys taunt you like that, you wish you could fly away. Jerry couldn't fly away, but what he could do was go to bed every night with a pencil and paper and draw out a story of a hero that would help him fight back against the bully. And the first hero he came up with was somebody he called the Super-Man. And it was not a very nice guy. It was exactly the kind of hero a young kid who was looking for a bully to fight back against his bullies might invent. And that was a version of Superman we had for a number of years until Jerry turned 17. And at that point, something very traumatic happened in his life. His dad owned a used clothing store in a seedy part of Cleveland. One day, three big men come in. One of them tries on a suit. He walks out without paying, and Michael Siegel chases him out the door. On the threshold, he has a massive heart attack. He drops dead on the spot, and Jerry, the youngest of his six kids, is bereft. Not long after that, he goes to bed again with his pencil and paper, and he recrafts his Superman. He drops the in front of Superman. He drops the hyphen between Superman, and he drops the bad guy act. And the story that he creates that night, and he runs across the street the next morning to his buddy Joe Shuster, the artist's house, to draw, shows a hero swooping in to save a man who's being robbed who looks a whole lot like Michael Siegel. And so when your listeners think of Superman and they watch this latest Man of Steel movie, they should know the real origin is a little boy who was fighting back against the bullies and against the loss of his dad. And it was that personal story that I think that has touched each of us in a way that 75 years later, we're still talking about this hero.
How appropriate that today on Father's Day, we're talking about a superhero who was birthed kind of as a father figure.
Hugely appropriate today. It was not just that Jerry gave birth to the father that he was missing. It was that the guys who published him were also people who had lost their fathers at a young age. And we're all looking for some sort of a hero. When we're looking for a replacement for our dad, it's even more poignant and even more likely that we're going to go back to that hero time and again.
Now, I'm curious, Larry, because we're talking about these two guys, Siegel and Shuster, who wrote and drew the original Superman stories. Have their estates profited from this? I know that, you know, eventually it became part of the DC Comics empire and has been made into TV shows and movies of all different kinds for different generations. Did they profit from that?
So there are two answers to that. Siegel and Shuster in 1938 were so desperate to sell their Superman story, they'd been trying for 5 years and gotten just a series of rejection letters, that they sold the rights to Superman in every medium for all times for a grand total to be divided between the two of them of $130.
Oh.
Maybe the original sin in the comic book world. On the other hand, the DC Comics made them famous. It was paying them annual salaries that today would be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it made them relatively wealthy, really well known, and it got their character published after failing to do that. And in recent years, and then when they died in the 1990s, their families got annual annuities, which were quite generous. They were trying to reach a settlement at the time of their death. Their heirs kept the lawsuit going, and right now it's still pending, but it looks like the latest decision would make the remaining heir, particularly of Jerry Siegel, quite wealthy, and it would give DC and Time Warner the rights to the character forever so they can go on and do what they dream of doing, which is not just having a billion-dollar Man of Steel movie, but having one, two, or even three sequels to it.
Of course. So it didn't turn out to be a complete mistake. They ended up making some money about that. But speaking of mistakes, I'm curious about something from the comic book Superman. I know that at one point, DC Comics killed him off. It was The Death of Superman was the name of the issue. I'm guessing that there was backlash to that worse than the backlash against New Coke.
Yes, there were two kinds of backlash. One was popular backlash, partly tongue-in-cheek. Newspapers like the New York Times and others all around the world were saying, how can you kill off our hero? And it was at a time that DC was desperate to breathe new life into the hero, so they decided by killing him off, it would show the world just how much they missed him. And anybody who knows comic books knows that the hero that you kill is the hero that you can figure out a way to bring back tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the only people who were truly panicked about that, ironically, were the top executives at Time Warner, who didn't know about the plans to kill off the hero, and they didn't know that in comic books you could bring him back.
Comic books and science fiction. Star Trek did it with Spock. DC did it with Superman. Same kind of concept. Another thing I've got to ask you about is the Clark Kent disguise. I've always been curious about this, how it is that human beings can see Superman, put on a pair of glasses, and oh, I don't know who he is anymore.
Yes. So there are, again, a couple answers to that. One is that that is a sign of just how much we want to believe. I grew up with the 1950s George Reeves TV series, where George Reeves was somebody that I adored. He was my first live-action Superman, and yet he, more than any other actor, was totally inept at making any difference between Clark and Superman. It was just putting off, taking off, or putting on his glasses. And you got to say, how dumb were not just Jimmy and Lois, but how dumb were we to believe? And yet I wanted to believe, so I did. I never asked why, after unloading 6 bullets on Superman that bounced off of him, Superman would duck when the upset gangster would toss his gun at him. We wanted to believe, so we would believe anything.
Yeah. That TV show, for me anyway, in reruns, was the reason why I would run around the house with a towel on my, tied around my neck with an S that I had written on it to my mother's chagrin. I'm guessing there are generations of kids who have done the same thing.
There are, and Warner Brothers is hoping a generation of kids who are now grandparents will come to the theater with their parents, with their kids and their grandkids, and introduce another generation, which is why they went through that laborious creation story yet again, because they're hoping an entire new generation will learn it and buy into it.
Yeah, but who doesn't know that?
I don't know anybody, but yeah.
Last question I have for you, and I've only got about 30 seconds here, Larry. The actors like Christopher Reeve and George Reeves who played Superman through the years, have any of them ever had success as another character, or did they get typecast as the Man of Steel?
They get typecast, and it's sad. George Reeves died of suicide before he ever had a chance to test it out. Chris Reeve had a few other roles, but not successful ones, and they're sure hoping that Henry Cavill will have a long career as Superman, and he's hoping a long career after that.
Yeah, I hope so for the guy too. But actually, I wish they would take these movies in a different direction. I did not enjoy it because it's more of an alien space war movie than it is Superman interacting with humans, which is what has made the story so great for me through all these years. The book is called Superman, The High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero. Larry Tye, the reporter and historian who put it together, thanks for joining me today here on America Weekend.
Thank you very much. Paul Harris, America Weekend.